continue. Again, it's the beginning of the con, beginning of a new
new time together. And now with is there anybody zooming? Nobody asked me. Okay. And it's a topic that goes with us throughout our life, and that is emuna. Well, we talk about actually whether it is a mitzvah that goes with us throughout our life. It is a concept that goes with us and should go with us throughout our life. So we'll talk a little bit about it. You know, it's something that usually comes with us. So we don't talk about it. We just believe it. But hopefully tonight we'll talk a little bit about it as well. Remember, was it a couple years ago, not last year, that we spoke about the six Mrs. Tmidios and we had different shiurim on each one? Was it last year? No. It was not last year. I don't think so. Maybe we'll do some of those again during this slot. But emuna, belief in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is something that is the basis of it all. The Torah tells us in Aseret HaDibros, as we know, the one area of the Torah which we all heard from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? We are the only religion. That's another shiur by the Shem. Hopefully we'll have. There's more Marmakomos here, or there's here on this side too. The only religion that started off in public is Judaism. That's one of the tenets of our faith, and that makes it unique. The other major religions started off in private. God spoke to a private individual, and there has to be trust, and there's no real culpability in that type of creation of a religion. Judaism started off in front of 2 million people. It's very hard to play a game of telephone with 2 million people and nobody messing up the experience and what is said. Again, that's the topic of a different shiur in terms of proving and seeing HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but we'll touch on that a little bit. But either way, the Torah tells us, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, Asher Otzeisicha Me'eretz Mitzrayim, I am HaKadosh Baruch Hu that took you out of Egypt, Mibeis Avadim, Lo Yelech Alehem Achirim, Al Panai. The words we heard straight from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Gemara in Makos tells us at the end, the second to last daf, many are familiar with it, Torah Tzivalanu Moshe, Marashaki Les Yaakov. That, by the way, is the first pasuk that we're supposed to teach our children. The Gemara tells us elsewhere, and the Rambam quotes it. The first pasuk, when our children begin to talk, you know, the instinctive reaction that we try to do is, what do we get them to say first? Abba, you know, mommy, whatever it is. No, Torah, tziva. That's what the Rambam says. When the child learns to talk, that's what we have to try to instill. So again, it doesn't only mean that pasuk, but it means what that pasuk entails and what that pasuk symbolizes. One of the messages that pasuk symbolizes is right here. Darash Rav Simlai, Sheish Meos V'Shlosh Esri, Mitzvos Nemru L'Moshe. 6:13, the Ramban writes in one place. It's amazing, there's a machlokas about everything under the sun. Except how many mitzvos there are. What are those mitzvos? That's a big machlokas. But that there are 6:13, for some reason, this Rav Simlai had mazel. And everybody agrees that there are 613 mitzvos. Why? Because of a gematria. Says the Gemara, Torah tzivol anu Moshe, Torah we is 611, we are straight from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we heard from Moshe, 2, we heard straight from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, 611 plus 2, 613. Great. The source for Tayag mitzvos. But that part is somewhat well known. But the Gemara continues and says, various Nevi'im distilled those 613 into Yesodos, into less, you know, quantity, so to speak. And that is, again, I didn't give you the all the Gemaras in between, but it says, Bud David, Vemidin al-Achasas Rei, David HaMelech came up with 11 in a Perek in Tehillim, 11 Yesodos that capture all 613. Yeshayo made it into 6, Micha made it into 3, and finally, Chabakuk, one of the Treyasar, made it into 1. What's the 1? What's the 1 Yesod that all life is based on? Tzadik be'emunaso yichya. Last off in Makos, it's all based on emuna. It's all based on that belief that we have, that trust that we have. One sort of fascinating ha'ar, if you remember anything from the shir, maybe the next 15 seconds will be, if you remember. Once heard, in every language in the world, father. How do you say father in every language? Father, Abba, Tati, Pops. It's all different words. It's all different words. How do you say sister? Achot, sister, Schwester. You know, I don't know any other languages. But they're all different. My father knows like 7, but didn't pass down. How do you say it? Every relation, how do you say mother? the same shorish in every language. Ima, mami, mam. It's all the same shorish. There's a ah and there's a ma. Emuna. Because the ultimate trust and relationship that there is in life is a baby to a mother. And the baby relies on the mother for milk, for sustenance, for life. And it's not just a coincidence that that's shorish of a connection from a child to a mother, even more than a child to a father. You know, there's a special connection, and that's ultimate in emunah, and that's how we have to approach HaKadosh Baruch Hu in a certain sense. Not just Avinu Malkeinu, we don't say Imenu Malkeinu, but there is a sense of emunah that we have with HaKadosh Baruch Hu in that sense. So the question we'll talk about a little bit is, what is encompassed in this idea of emunah? Obviously, belief in God. But what does that entail? How do we bring it lamaisa? Why is it that the Torah does not say a command, believe in me? Most Rishonim count emunah as a mitzvah. Most Rishonim, the Rambam, mitzvah number one. The Rambam counts as a mitzvah. Source number three, mitzvahs asay aleph. Ha-mitzvah rishona, ha-tzivui asher tzivanu la-ha-amin ha-elokus. To believe in Elokus, in God. V'hu she-na-amin she-yisham e-la v'siba. We have to believe that there is an ultimate source. V'u-po-a l'chol ha-nimsos. He is the cause of all creations. V'u-amru anochi yisham ha-lokecha. The Rambam counts emuna, the chinuch, and most other rishonim count emuna. There is the shita that one should be familiar with, the shita of the Bahag. The Baal Halachos Gedolos, who was possibly the first to ever write a Sefer HaMitzvos. One of the Gaonim, Rav Yehudai Gaon, we assume, right, he was the one. The Rambam wrote his Sefer HaMitzvos partially as a reaction to the Bahag, as an argument, as a as a foil to the Bahag. And it starts with mitzvah number one. The Bahag does not count Emunah as a mitzvah Zaseh Daraisa. Partially because it doesn't say anywhere in the Torah, believe in me. It says, I am Hashem, your God. We know from there that, there's a mitzvah of emunah. But it doesn't say anywhere. So if it doesn't say a lashon tzivui, so it's not a mitzvah. But it's not just technically. The way the Ramban says, I agree with the Rambam, but let me explain the Bahag. The Ramban writes, in Hasasagas, the Sefer HaMitzvos, how could you give a mitzvah to believe? Mitzvah only makes sense if you believe. It's circular logic. You can't have a mitzvah unless you believe in a mitzvah. So how could there be a mitzvah to believe in a mitzvah? Says the Bahag, it's not counted as a mitzvah because emunah is a prerequisite for mitzvos. It itself is not a mitzvah. It's a prerequisite. Mitzvahs don't make sense without a mitzvah. To say it's a mitzvah, even, would be to minimize what it really is. Oh, there's a mitzvah to believe in God, and a mitzvah to do Hashavas Aveda, and a mitzvah to... Come on. It's belief in God! So the Bahag says, I'm not counting it as a mitzvah. It's too definitional. It's a prerequisite. The Rabban writes in Source 4, V'anira midaito shalabal ha'alachos. Ein minyan tariag mitzvahs, like zerosa, shegazra l'inalasos, omanan ushlonasa, aval ha'emuna b'mitziyuso yis'ale, belief in Hashem, shahudia osa elenu, ba'osus of amofsin, that he revealed himself through signs, u'begili shechita l'enenu, hu ha'ikar v'ashorish, that is the root, shemimenu noldu ha'mitzvos. All mitzvahs flow from that idea. But that's not a mitzvah, says the Bahag. Because that's just the basis. That's step one. Step one is to believe in the mitzvah, and then we can believe in following the mitzvos of the mitzvah. What would the Rambam answer to that? What would Rov Rishonim answer? It makes a lot of sense. Sounds good. Sometimes you have a machlokes, so first you swing the pendulum one way, and then the other way. So first, come on, it's not a mitzvah to believe in God? Come on! Then we're like, oh no, it's a prerequisite. The mitzvahs don't make sense without it. That sounds very logical. So now we're back to the Rambam, and the Chinuch, and the others. So what is the mitzvah then? Isn't it a prerequisite? what's encompassed in the mitzvah itself. What are steps to take to make it l'maisa in our day? So again, there are so many avenues and directions to go in this topic. We'll go in one direction tonight. Maybe in future weeks we'll branch out to other ideas as well. Point number one. Why is there no tzivui? Why isn't there no lashon of believe in me? And what exactly is the mitzvah? Sezer of Nevinzal. Source number 5. Again, many others say it as well. Sezer of Nevinzal. He quotes our questions that we just said. Reishis hadavar lo nomar b'lashon tzivui. Ketzed shayach klal litzavos mashu kodem sheyadua miyu ha-mitzaveh. How is it possible to even command, believe in me? What do you mean? How can you command such a thing? Says Rav Nevinzal, belief in HaKadosh Baruch Hu just means don't be blind to what is obvious. It's not an active try to figure something out. It's a davar de memela. If we just think about life a little bit and open our eyes and think logically and philosophically, it doesn't make any sense that there isn't a God. The natural, obvious yesod is belief. That's not the mitzvah. The mitzvah is don't let everything else get in the way and cover our thoughts. Writes Rav Nevinzal on the next page. On the top. Yisrael Einam Zekukim Lepasik. Believe in me. Of course, you believe in me. We need a pasuk to tell me believe in me. It's obvious. The message is we have to make sure, so to speak, that life doesn't get in the way. We have to make sure that even though he's mates, it's been a harakim. We see the eyes, and we see HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's no mitzvah because it should be automatic. That's why it's not a lashon of tzivui. There is a mitzvah because we have to actively make sure that we allow what should be natural to take place. The Rambam writes in Mor Nevuchim. I didn't give it to you. The Rambam writes, the greatest raya that there is a God, that there is a creator, is the human eye. The human eye. Think about the human eye. That just happened. Like all the lenses and the reflection and the refraction. And I think I mentioned, I was at the Rav's Levaya, remember, when I was in college. Went up to Boston. It was Erev, the last days of Pesach. It was Ochel HaMoed, so it couldn't be too many Espedim. So his brother, Rav Aaron Soloveitchik, spoke. I didn't understand a word he said. He spoke in English, but I remember he spoke about the reflection and the refraction and all these different things that he took Torah and he branched it out to world Jewry. And I was there, but can't say I understood any of it. But I remember that thing about the, he didn't mention the human eye, but he was talking about all these lenses and the way that the prism of Torah that the Rav brought in. But the Rambam says, what that just happened, there was a big explosion and all of a sudden everybody had eyes. You could Google Darwin versus the human eye. There are whole, you know, doctoral theses written about the topic. But it's something obvious if we just think about, right? The order of the world, the fact that this is a topic of proving HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a topic of different Sichas Chaim, which hopefully we'll have. But the fact that if the Earth was an inch closer to the Sun, we'd all burn up, and if the Sun was an inch further, if the Earth was an inch further from the Sun, we'd all freeze. It so happens that it's exactly on this orbit, on this wow, amazing, coincidental. But just open our eyes. Rabbi Chanan has a well-known essay in the world of Rabbi Chanan essays. In the Kovetz Mamarim, 2 volumes of his collected essays, the first one, he asks, is belief in God logical? Is a belief in God logical? If the, you know, after 120, when the hick from the middle of Canada, you know, goes up to Shamayim, and is asked, you know, no, so did you believe? No, I'm an atheist. Is he going to be faulted for that? Nobody ever taught him. Nobody ever faulted him. Nobody ever, you know, connected. He never was. Is it illogical to believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu like the average thinking person should believe? Rabbi Chanan asks. He asks it in a different way. How is it shayach to give a mitzvah to believe? Same kind of question that we asked in source number 6. Fine, regarding obligations of our limbs. You could tell us what to do and what not to do. The Torah could regulate our behavior. It's just something that's either there or not there. If you have it, great. If you don't have it, you don't have it. So, if somebody doesn't believe in God, then he must be an onus, says Rabbi Chanan. But then he says, the next page, he's not an onus. Okay, we're not going to read the whole thing, but it's mukhrach, says Rabbi Chanan. It's mukhrach. Look at line 12. It's the mashal that I just gave. Nitzayer bedaitenu ben noach asher kol yomav hayashikar. V'roa bale chayim. V'kasher yavol lebezen shamalav. You do not solo gehenem ashlo kiim sheva mitzvos. Hello Yitzhak. How am I supposed to know sheva mitzvos bei Noach? How am I supposed to know that God wants something from me? Says Rabbi Chanan ki emuna shakadosh baruch hu bares haolam hi muchrachas l'chol ben das imrak yatzim michlal shote. If somebody is a mentally sane, stable person, you don't need philosophy. Just open your eyes. Says Rabbi Chanan. It's obvious. It's obvious. He quotes from the Chovas HaLevavos, the Chulu, V'ilu Omar Adam Megagal Shamayim HaMezgagal Hashko Sada. Again, this is a little off our topic, but we'll do it. It's here. He's a Niskan Mibli Kavanas Uman. Let's say, I don't know, here, you have this watch. If I tell you, you know what happened with this watch? There was a big explosion, and all of a sudden the watch came into existence. It just so happened. You know, a bunch of pieces of metal rolled all together, and they made this watch. You think I'm crazy. You can't have something so complicated without a creator, without somebody who made the watch. The most complicated thing in the world is the world. So, says Rabbi Chanan, what, that just happened? To not believe in a creator? Just think. Says Rabbi Chanan, one second. It's obvious. And therefore, we will be held accountable, says Rabbi Chanan, to a certain degree. And then, let's just finish the point, and then I'll take your question. Turn the page for a minute. We're not going to read the whole thing. He quotes a story from Rav Yonasan Ivershitz, the Tumim. Quotes a story. He was asked by one of the Chachmei Agoyim. They always ask from, like, L'shitascha. It says in your Torah, you follow the majority. Acher Amahatos. Most of the world thinks you're wrong. Most of the world thinks the Jews are wrong, so you have to follow the majority. So Rav Yonasan Ivershitz, obviously without missing a beat, says, we only follow the majority when there's a suffix. If we're not sure, then you follow the majority. But if somebody points to the sun and says, hey, look, isn't that the moon? Even if the whole world says it's the moon, it's not the moon. If you're with 100 people who are drunk, and 98 of them say A, right? And 2 of them say B. What? They're drunk. Says Rabbi Chanan, if you're not objective, so then, you know, it could be, if it's Vaday, it's Vaday. That's what he answered. That's a very sharp answer. Ki din rov lo nomar ala besafik v'lo bevaday. Tisha Chanuyos, Psachim Daftes. Oh, Avol Machaticha Nikereshu Miyamiya Lomani Ruba. If you know Vadai, right, the piece of meat that you found says which store it's from. It doesn't matter if there are 10 other stores like that. It says which store it's from. It's not a suffix. Then you don't go by the majority. So Rabbi Nevinzal, Rabbi Chanan, Emunah is something logical and obvious. Our job is to try to not let ourselves not see the obvious. To allow ourselves to think clearly. To allow ourselves to be able to connect to what we see and to recognize there's a Baal HaBira. Nobody taught Avram Avinu. And guess what? He put it in our DNA. Rav Chaim Ivalajan writes on Pirkei Avos in his commentary in the Ruach Chaim, all the tests that Avram Avinu passed was to put into the DNA of his descendants that we have the power to do that too. We have the power, like Avram Avinu, to recognize the Baal HaBira. Yeah.
So does that mean Avodah Zarah is better than Israel, in a sense?
Is it?
As in, if you have a tribe somewhere that says it can't be by mistake that they choose Avodah Zarah, does that mean they've done well?
If they've chosen, because at least they believe in a source. They believe in a source. I guess it's better they're just misguided into what the source is. But I don't know. I don't know if it's... I don't know. Which is worse, you know, atheism or belief in like a human being is a god? You know, the Rambam says Christianity is Avodah Zarah. Islam is not. You can believe in a false prophet, but to believe that a prophet is God, that's believe in the Trinity, according to the Rambam, that's Avodah Zarah. I mean, Lomaisa Bismanazeh, most are not, because most people from other religions don't really think about their religion too much. And the Rambam says the post can say nobody's really so frum these days. You know, so that's just the way it is. I remember I had a cousin of mine that at one point married a ger, and I was talking to the non-Jewish parents of the and they were talking, and they said, and they I was a rabbi. They're like, "Rabbi, can we talk to you about something that's been bothering us?" Yeah, he says, "Do you know they started having female ushers to take you to the pews in our church?" I said, "Really?" They said, "It's so untraditional. They think they can do whatever they want, like there are no rules. There are female ushers." I'm like, "Wow, terrible." You know, it was like they out of the blue. I'm like, "Well, you know, because, you know, and anything goes. Anything goes." But yeah. Okay. So where does it come from that we can't think so clearly? So that, of course, is the power of Amalek in the world. Amalek already brought that into the world many years ago. Remember the Rashi in Parshas Kisetse. Top of the next page, source 7. Rashi says, we know in Parshas Zachar, Asher Karcha Baderech. We have many chumers for Parshas Zachar. You got to hear it in your Nusach, and you got to say Zecher and Zecher, and you have to have Kavana. There's a big chumrah. That's not really a chumrah, it's a din. You have to know what the words mean. If we don't know what the words mean, then we're for sure not Yotzei. If we think that we're like putting a, you know, certain things don't work unless you know what it means. If I think bittul chametz is some incantation that my matzah should taste good, I have no idea what bittul chametz means. It's meaningless. Parsha Zachar is to remember what Amalek did. If I don't know what the words mean, so then I'm not Yotzei. What does the word asher karcha mean? Not every word there is simple. Rashi gives three pshatim. What does karcha mean? Not so common for Rashi to give three different pshatim for a word. Rashi says asher karcha baderech lashon mikra. Number one, coincidence. Asher karcha baderech, Amalek happened upon you in the desert. You were going this way, they were going that way. Boom, they met asher karcha. Davar acher, lashon keri v'tuma. Asher karcha, impurity. He made you impure. Asher karcha baderech. Three, davar acher, lashon kor v'chom. Kar, cold. He cooled you off. Amalek cooled us off from our boiling state. We were all boiling. We say in Az Yashir, they were all scared of us. Nobody wanted to start up with us. And all of a sudden, Amalek came and started up. Rashi gives the mashal. You have a boiling hot jacuzzi. And there's bubbles and it's hot. Nobody wants to go in. One person jumps in. He gets burned, but he cooled it off for everybody afterwards. And that's what Amalek did for the world. All the nations we were boiling. We were on fire. Amalek came in, three pshatim. So the Bali Musar, Rav Sternbach, source 8, in Chubas van Hagos, Rav Sternbach says all three pshatim are really connected. Amalek is the power, as many point out, the power of Mikra, of Safek, right? Amalek is Gematria Safek, many point out. Amalek is about doubt. Amalek is about everything's coincidental. Lashon Mikra. Mikra, we happen to meet the Jewish nation. Mikra. That's the source of impurity in the world. To think that everything is by chance. They cooled off Emunah. That's the power of Amalek. The power of this world is that Hashem is covered. Even though it should be obvious, Hashem hides, so to speak, since Amalek came along. There was godliness all over, and then the power of Amalek, he attacked us, and that was it. And until, Rashi quotes at the end of Bishalach, until Mashiach comes, there's going to be this power. So it's a challenge, but we have to know deep down that it should be obvious. We just have to try to overcome. Once heard of Ephraim Waxman once said, the word Amalek, if you think about it, we'll talk about this before Purim again, Beis Hashem, it's an Am that could taste the take the most exciting events. It's an Am Lamed Kuf. Lamed is the tallest letter of the Aleph Beis. It's the tippy top of the Aleph Beis. It's so exciting, it's so high up, it schlepped it down to the bottom of the Kuf. It's an Am that could go from the top of the Lamed to the bottom of the Kuf. That's the power of Amalek. The power of making something godly and making it coincidental. Making it no. But deep down, like Rabbi Chanan said, like Rabbi Davidzal said, Emunah just means allowing ourselves to think clearly. Allowing others to think clearly. That's all part one. Part two. If it's so obvious to believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then why is it called Emunah? Shouldn't it just be called Yediyah? Emunah kind of gives off the impression of you have to believe something that you don't know, that you don't see. The mitzvah should be to see, to know. And that is some of the formulations of the Rambam. The Rambam writes in the beginning of Yesod HaTorah, the first line of Mishnah Torah, Leida, to know. Yesod HaYesodos Amud HaChachamos, Leida, Sheisha Motzi Rishon, to know. Back in the Sefer HaMitzvahs, he wrote, according to our translation, Lahamin. What's the relationship between Leida and Lahamin? And why do we use the Lashon of Emunah? How do we view Emunah and Yediyah? Three ideas. Number one, they don't all work together, but they're independent ideas. Number one is a quote, they quote a number of Svarim quote from Reb Chaim. The Avi Ezri, Reb Shach, quotes that he asked this question to the Brisker Rav, the Griz, and the Griz told him in the name of his father, Reb Chaim. He asked him this question. If belief in God is obvious, then why is it called Emunah? Where does Emunah come? Says Rav Shach. Me'azu mitamin hayiti mitpaleh. Lama machanin l'mitzvah zu Emunah. Hare bipshuto zeu zeu me'amuskalos harishonos. That's pure logic. Belief in God. De'i afshar la'olam b'limanig. V'gam yibsariach zeh elokai. It's impossible the world doesn't have a ruler. Right? Like we mentioned before, the more complicated something is, right, the more you obviously know somebody created it. The supercomputer, right? The power, the energy, right? The more there is. V'achachma neflasha b'chol yitzur katan. The amazing wisdom in every little particle. I think I heard only one or two shiurim, never in person, but on recorded from Rav Avigdor Miller. So I remember one. He gave a shiur on Tu B'Shvat. He was talking about fruit. Over here, he spoke about everything. Fascinating. So I remember he was speaking about an apple. He said, if you take a seed of an apple, one seed, look how big it is. One seed of an apple, tiny little thing. You know what power is in this apple seed? This tiny little thing, put it in the ground. Put it in the ground, you water it. What does it do? It produces an apple tree. Take all the seeds from all the apples on that apple tree and plant them all over the world. And then take all the apple trees that grow from all of the seeds on all those apple trees and plant them more. In two or three generations, you'll have enough apples for the entire earth to survive on. And it's all in the potential of one little seed. That's what he said. So that's what Rav Shach is saying now. We can't fathom the power of every little part of creation. So it's so obvious. Why is it called Emunah? So he quotes from Reb Chaim. He said, I asked the Brisker Rav, and he told me that he asked this to his father, Reb Chaim, and he said, you're right. Here's the line. Emunah starts where Yediyah stops. There's a certain level and amount that we can understand, and we can't see. But it's only up to a point. Even Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't understand everything. Right when we get to that border where we can't understand, that's where Emunah starts. That's not belief. That's not the belief in Emunah. That's not the mitzvah of Emunah. That's easy. That's obvious. The idea of Ochiv Emunah Maschil Mimakum Shekala Seichel Adam. She Seichel Adam Alu Mugbal Bezmanu B'makom. So there's Yediya, and then there's Emuna. Or to say it a little differently, Reb Chaim's grandson, the Rav in Isha Halacha says, belief in God is to know that you can't know. What does it mean, belief in God? Belief in God, we can't fathom God. We only describe God in negatives. What's Hashem? Well, we know He doesn't have a body. We know He doesn't have Chachma like we have Chachma. We know He doesn't, is not dependent. We know what He's not, but we don't know what He is. But that's Emunah. To know that we can't know, but we know there's some power out there. That's what he writes in Isha Halacha. Mitzad achad kav halacha ledoros. Das Hashem mi mitzvah rishona. The first mitzvah is to know Hashem. Think about that a little deeper. You can know Hashem. How can there be a mitzvah to know Hashem? There's a mitzvah to know that you don't know. I think I've quoted in the past, the Baal Amor. The Baal Amor, Rabbeinu Yonah quotes this at the end of his commentary on Pirkei Avos. Lo yadati sheyadati, ad sheyadati shelo yadati. Lo yadati sheyadati, ad sheyadati shelo yadati. I didn't realize that I knew anything until I realized that I didn't know. Because that's the Maila. That's Yediya, and that's Emunah. Approach number one, how to put them together. Yeah.
All right. In terms of the proof that the world is so complex, therefore it must be having created. So if we assume that God is the most complex being ever, and that God wasn't created, so why is it then...
We can't understand God. We don't know what...
I understand. But can you just say, not that the world is a God, but rather that the world... Despite its complexity, it could still be something natural. If we're ready to say God, even though the complexity of God is not proof that God was created, so why can't the complexity of the world not be
But anything physical, let's say, everything physical was created, and we realized that there had to be an uman. There had to be someone who, a craftsman. Everything about God, we can't ask Akasha about God because we don't understand God. That's where Emunah comes in. Once you reach the level of after Yediya, we could recognize that everything has a creator. But once you start talking about the creator, that's where Emunah comes in and that's where Yediya ends. Because we can't fathom anything beyond that. Number one. Number two. Says the Slonim Rebbe, says the Nesiva Shalom, Yediya and Emunah. It's Emunah. It's hard to recognize. There's a lot going on in life that we don't realize. Source 13, you have it there? There's a lot in life that happens. I can tell you, I've been having conversations with one of my kids recently. Corona and everything's messed up and so many people are unemployed and people are sick. It's hard to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But we have to dig down deep. And the Nesiva Shalom says, even if it's Emunah, we should try to make it as clear to ourselves as if it's Yediya. Even though it's not Yediya. And even though we can never get it. Kavanas hamusag Yediya shekasev Rabbeinu haynu sheemunah tiyah kol kach berur ubehira. We should have such trust and such Emunah. Emunah not based on logic. And this we have to deepen. Emunah pshuta, emunaso below pikpukin usfekos. Kadama yodia bebirur. As clear as it could be, our emunah should affect. So it's ki'ilu, it's a yodia. It's one of the approaches. We spoke about this, I think, last year, a little bit before Shavuos. One of the approaches to answer Tosfos is Kasha and Shabbos. Right? Tosfos and Shabbos, Daf Peches, asks, Source 15, why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu have to force Am Yisrael? Kafalem Harkagigas, why do you have to hold the mountain over our heads? Didn't we say Nasav and Ishma? Right, that on that same daf in Shabbos, you have both of those chazals. Kafalem Harkagigas, Nasav and Ishma. Ask Tosfos, why do we have to be forced? Many different answers. Say a popular approach of the Achronim, the Meshech Chachma, and others, we did it willingly. But it was ki'ilu, it was forced. Because it was so clear to us. It was as if we didn't have Bechira Chavshus. We all have Bechira Chavshus not to walk into, or to walk into, a burning house on fire. But we won't, because there's Bechira, we realize that's not something to do. So, we did it willingly, but it was ki'ilu, it was so clear to us, as if we were forced. That's emunah and yediyah. It's emunah. But we should try to act in a way as if it's yediyah. As if it's clear. It's a scary story I saw in the Lekach Tov, contemporary Likut. He has one volume on emunah. It's a Talmud of the Ramban, Rachman al-Islam, that was nifter at a young age. And the Ramban, before he was nifter, he goes over to his Talmud, this is in 14, Shmana b'ni, listen, Ba'olam Elyon, Yeshecha Elyon, the Ramban says there are many different levels that you're going to get to in Shemayim. Take this Kamiya. The Ramban gives him something. Whatever the Ramban gives him. And he says, this Kamiya will open up all the heavens to you. You show this and, you know, they'll let you in. That's already pretty amazing. This is the Ramban. The Ramban was the Rebbe of the Rashba, the Ritva, the Ramban, the Ran, I mean, the Ramban, we can't fathom the Ramban. But he says, take this Kamiya, go all the way up, and when you get to the upper heavens, come to me in a dream, because I have a lot of kashas. I have kashas I need answered. That's what the Ramban tells him. Achetagia lehechal elyam, imsham tishal kamash elos at sumos, sheishli binogia lekla Yisrael. The Ramban lived right after the Crusades, or during. Right? A lot of terrible things. So, I have a lot of kashas. When you get there, come back to me. What happened? Nifter a Talmud, v'yeh hayom, the Ramban was Yoshev Ayad Chalona, v'osik b'Torah, and the Talmud comes to him. And the Talmud says, Rebbe, I have all your kashas, I came here, right, it worked, I'm all the way up. But I can't give you answers to the kashas, because there are no kashas. And I realize, it's not that I can give you an answer to a question, there's no question. Because everything is clear, and everything makes sense. And there's yediyah. So we have to know that in a way of emunah, but it should be as clear to us as if it's yediyah. So that's number two. Number one, Reb Chaim, emunah starts where yediyah ends. Number two, it's emunah, but it should be as clear as if it's yediyah. And a third idea, which is not on your sheet, which was said in the name of Aaron, I heard of the name, I saw in the name of Aaron Soloveitchik. And that is, Pasuk says, "Ve'yaminu b'Hashem of Moshe Avdo." They believed by Kriyas Yamsuf. They believed in Hashem and Moshe. And Rav Aaron asked, "Why Dafka did that only happen at Kriyas Yamsuf? Why did the Emuna Ve'yaminu b'Hashem only happen then? Ve'yaminu b'Hashem of Moshe Avdo. Why only then?" So Rav Aaron says, "Rav Aaron said, because true Emuna is when you take part in the process." Yetzias Mitzrayim was only about God. We didn't do anything. Only by Kriyas Yamsuf did we put our feet into the water. And only when you take part, then you feel part of the process. Read you his words. As we have explained, belief implies not merely accepting something as true, but actively following up on it and transmitting it to others. When we jump in, there's an amazing Aruch Chaim HaKadosh. I'm not going to read it for hours getting late, but if you want to look at it, it's in B'Shalach, on the Pasuk, Dabrei El Bnei Yisrael V'Yiso. Moshe says, Hashem, what should I do? Hashem says, go. Stop davening. Dabrei El Bnei Yisrael V'Yiso. Ask the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh. What do you mean, stop davening? What should a Jew do during an Esara and not daven? Right? Hashem Yilav, Atem Tacharishon. Says the Archaim HaKadosh. Again, he says it. Sometimes there's something that even tefillah can't accomplish. And only emunah can. And Nachshon ben Aminadav jumping into the water, showing his emunah and taking part in it. That's something that's emunah. When you're not fearful to take part in the process. Okay, I have to tell you this story, but you know, just there's more. But I might have you might have heard me say this before, but it fits into exactly this point. I used this many years ago in a ni'ila. And that is, if you could look it up, 100 years ago, beginning of the 20th century, there was somebody called the Great Blondini. I think it's officially called the Great Blondin. But the Great Blondini. Who was the Great Blondini? At that time, one of the big exciting adventures that they liked to do, these people who are into extreme sports, was to walk across Niagara Falls on a tightrope. That was like big in the beginning of the 20th century. Not from America to Canada, that's a little far, but like part of it. So that's what the people used to do. Many people didn't make it, maybe some people did. But there was the Great Blondini. So what is it? There was one guy that went, and he went with his friends, and he says, guys, watch this. And he's about to go on the rope. And he says, who believes in the Great Blondini? I don't know what he was talking about. And he says again, who believes in the Great Blondini? And they said, we believe in the Great Blondini. And he went, and he took a tight rope, walked across, made it across. They're like, whoa, wow, he made it. He says, come back in a month for my next act. People heard about it. Sounds exciting. So next time there were a couple hundred people there, he says, I'm going to walk across blindfolded. Oh, blindfolded. He gets up, he puts on the blindfold. Who believes in the Great Blondini? We believe in the Great Blondini. Goes slowly, gets across. Fine. Says, come back in a month for my next act. Now people heard about it, the newspapers, hundreds of people the next time. He's gathered, he goes up on the platform. Who believes in the Great Blondini? We believe in the Great Blondini. I'm going to walk across blindfolded, pushing a wheelbarrow. Wow, my gosh, they're scared. He goes, he puts on his wheelbarrow. He's going slowly. Oh, it falls. Makes it across. He says, next month will be my last trick. Oh, hopefully not, but... He says, thousands of people come. He's ready. He says, I'm going to walk across, blindfolded, pushing a wheelbarrow with somebody in the wheelbarrow. And he says, who believes in the Great Blondini? And they say, we believe in the Great Blondini. He says, who's getting in the wheelbarrow? Emunah means when you take part in act based on it. Do we really believe? Are we ready to commit ourselves? Are we ready to jump in? I think his daughter went in the end. And he made it across. But that's exactly what Rav Aaron's message is. Vayamina b'Hashem Moshe Abdo, because then they took part in it. That yediyah is in the mind. Emunah means where I take part in it. So part one, we mentioned it's obvious, and you know, we just have to try to uncover. Part two, we mentioned the Amin and Leida. What are parts of it? Again, the hours later, I don't want to get too much into it. Maybe we'll talk more about this. No, there's a lot more. Maybe we'll wait. We'll continue this next time with more Emunah issues. I don't want to rush through it. So you know what? Let's stop here. We have to talk about the different parts to believe. Borei, Mashgiach, many different parts, and then we'll talk about making a Lamaisa. Bringing Emunah into our lives. So that's, hopefully we'll do that more next time. Maybe we'll get into the seeing HaKadosh Baruch Hu more in our life, in the world, that we touched on a little bit. Maybe we'll do more of that next time as well. Okay, we'll stop here.